Well, so as you know, we've kind of been looking to expand the podcast and our reach and everything. So as part of that, I've been looking into doing ads.
Have we really been trying to? Okay.
I've got an ad in the newspaper.
Okay. Yeah. That's true. That's true.
We're working on it. We're working on it. And as part of that process, I've actually reached out to Peyton Manning's people to look at buying some ad space on his forehead.
That's mean. I don't know.
Isn't that? Well, that's what he said.
You know, I mean, a lot of our listeners are in the Bronco country, so to speak. I know you're not a fan, but you might have just turned off half our.
No, I like Peyton Manning, which is why I reached out to him.
But the whole
thing. Like, actually, I got in touch with him. He's a little kid. He's like, is this Wes Welker? How'd you get this number? And I was like, no, I mean, I host a book podcast and we're looking at. And I was like, it doesn't have to be permanent. I'm not talking like a tattoo. And just for one evening on the Manning cast, do you want to just, we'll draw the logo on your noggin. And it'll just be, people will be like, it'll be all over Twitter. Hey, what's that thing on Peyton Manning's face?
Picture of a dog reading a book.
It's a picture of a dog reading a book. It's our logo.
Yeah. How much is he willing to do this for?
We didn't get that far in our negotiations. He hung up and told me never to call him again.
Okay. All right. Manning cast, did you know on Peyton Manning, he's hosting a TV show that, from what I gather from the only commercial I've seen, it's called like College Bowl. And it's like,
oh, like the Capital One College Bowl.
Yeah. It's like a college trivia thing.
Yeah.
Why didn't we go for that? I mean, that's right in our market. A couple smart guys.
For ad space or trying to be?
Ad space. Books.
I'll look into it. The TV ads might be a kind of expensive right now. More expensive than we can
throw around instead of a college free newspaper. But I like your desire to increase the podcast listenership.
And we'll go. We're trying the sports, the bookish sports fan, or vice versa. That's kind of our demographic that we're trying to corral here. So.
This is not a normal episode because we do have a friend of the podcast, Sam Ernst, with us tonight. Sam, you've been just listening to Matt's, marketing 101 TED Talk here. Your initial thoughts on getting Peyton Manning to do sponsorship for their Woolly Books?
My main thought is that it'd be pretty difficult to draw that logo on his head.
It'd be hard, well, and getting them to sit still for that long, you know?
No,
buddy, you gotta sit still. You can't.
It's pretty detailed, you know.
Yeah, it's a cool. I think it's a very cool logo.
I think the biggest winner from that would probably be the artist. Your sister-in-law, true.
Sister-in-law, she's in our football league.
Okay. I think she has a really good team. I was just looking at that, looking at everyone's team. Did she sign off on her? Kind of artwork. I don't know if we have first rights. I don't know, dude. The rights of the art go back to her after the. You're looking at me like you don't know what I'm talking about.
If we start making money or selling merch, she'll get a cut.
Okay.
Like we're not gonna.
We're not gonna tell her that though.
No, I'm gonna never tell her that.
Okay. You told her about.
You could give her like a prize, you know, that if she got to spend an hour drawing it on Peyton Manning's head. That's like payment in and of itself, right?
Yeah, she's not a football person. It's kind of funny. Like, who is this? Like, don't worry about it. He's a guy with a big forehead.
I mean,
I like Peyton Manning.
Wait, you don't like his forehead?
No, I love his forehead.
Okay.
I want to put an ad on it. So people stare at it while he's on TV. Or honestly, or we could do John Elway's teeth.
Oh my God, I gotta stop the Bronco slander right now. What is happening? You win a Super Bowl 2 years ago, and now you're just, I can't deal with this.
You
win every book nomination month. I let you win, because my selections are always too, that's too sad, I can't do that. Let's read what, I let you win that, and now you're bringing Bronco slander in here.
Is that too much? I might have to throw September to you.
Mm. It's like, I don't even know if we're going to get a September book, but just calm down, okay? Let's work as a team here.
All
Any, do you want any last Bronco slander? I'll let one more go. But that's it. Okay.
Did you know Russell Wilson was married to what's her name? Sierra?
They're still married.
Yeah, he's married to her. He's the heir to the Sierra Mist fortune.
Okay.
I think. Which is cool because Sierra Mist is kind of like a poor man's Sprite. And Russell Wilson has the personality of a can of Sprite.
Okay. And on that note, welcome to There Will Be Books, a podcast about books and Sierra Mist. I am Peter, joined as always by Matt, and special guest tonight, Sam Ernst. All right. I think you started off, that was just really, you're like bouncing up and down.
Sorry. I've been sitting on that Sprite joke for like a month.
You've had that for a month. Okay. Is your wife just like, what are you doing over there, Matt? And you're just like,
she doesn't know.
You have a notebook and you're like, coming up with Russell Wilson puns.
She doesn't know who Russell Wilson is. Who's that?
So you can't run it by it? Okay. Yeah. So you're just waiting. Okay.
I'm waiting to use it on this thing.
Sam, he's usually not this giddy. He's
particularly animated. He must have a good team. Yeah.
And my notes.
So if you came for book talk this week, it's sort of related. We're doing our, at this point, I think it's a tradition where we do a fantasy draft of the current sport with book related. I think in each instance before we did authors for baseball and football. Is that correct, Matt? I think
so. Yeah, we fill the positions with an author who seems like he's fit. He's fitting.
And Sam sent us his baseball one last time, right, Sam? And it was
yep.
way better than my team, especially. Matt's team was pretty
good. It was a good team.
So we're having you on to have this draft. Matt, you said you wanted to start tonight with not fantasy football related, but hopes for the season. Is that what you...
Well, because it's a football-themed episode, and we're trying to figure out if there's a book sports demographic. Sam, you're a Packers fan.
I am, yes.
Peter's a Broncos fan. I'm a Chiefs fan. So we just real quick, what's the everybody in sports talk radio, they always do predictions and they hang on to the predictions like it's life or death, and it's like a really big deal to them that their predictions are right. And ultimately though, nobody cares about some random person's predictions. So I figure what we'll do is like, what's your hope? What's the best case scenario for this football season?
You want me to go first?
Yeah, Peter.
Actually, Sam, you're a guest. Good. Let's
All right.
Yeah. Speak.
You know, my hope is that I think the Packers will have a good season. I think they could make it to the Super Bowl. They'll probably lose it because Rodgers always seems to find a way to lose the big games at the very end. But I think they'll be better this year without Davante Adams. I think it'll force Rodgers to be more creative with his passing. So I'm hoping for a good season.
Nice.
Can we also do our hopes for each other's teams?
Yeah.
Because I had a funny one. I don't know if it's funny, but it came into my head for about the
back. We'll find out.
Okay. I hope Aaron Rodgers plays a game on ayahuasca this year. He did say that in an interview with Joe Rogan. So I just think he should commit to it. And
yeah, he would probably be pretty good.
I mean, didn't he do it and then win the MVP twice in a row?
I know.
I mean, you make fun of him.
The DEA is like, please don't do that.
I think he went to Costa Rica.
Matt, the Chiefs. Do you have a Packers hope?
It's my turn.
Yeah. Or do you have a hope for the Packers?
Well, my hope intersects with what I want to see is a Chiefs-Packers Super Bowl. I want to see Mahomes versus Rodgers before Rodgers retires. I think that would be the best case scenario from my point of view for the Super Bowl. Chiefs, Packers, obviously Chiefs win, but I would like to see. And I think the Chiefs are going to be better without Tyreek Hill.
Okay.
For similar reasons as Davante Adams. I think we're going to spread it out more. It'll force us to kind of slow down. I think the Chiefs are going to be fine. Somehow the Bills have become like the best team in the history of football all of a sudden. But I think we're going to be fine. So Chiefs Packers Super Bowl.
Okay.
Yeah.
You guys can
rematch of the very first Super Bowl.
It'd be perfect. It'd be a good.
How about you guys just start your own podcast about this and have your like
about the Chiefs Packer.
That's the podcast title. I hope for the Chiefs that Andy Reid's mustache freezes on a week and just gets stuck. I hope he brings back that mask, that like shield he wore. I hope he brings that back. That's not my hope, because that would mean COVID would come back pretty hard. So strike that from the record. I don't want Andy Reid to have the mask back.
But his mustache might wait till come January.
I do want his mustache to freeze.
Yeah.
And then I went to freeze and fall off completely. You've chosen this game, Matt.
You start the podcast
with just hatred for the Broncos.
Is that your funny one? That's your funny thing?
It's the funniest thing I come up with.
Andy Reid's mustache falls off.
Sam's laughing, I think. Just pity laugh. But
I was picturing, you know, it getting jostled inadvertently and just kind of shattering. And
yes.
Kind of funny.
It would be funny if it was a fake mustache like this time.
He shatters like the T-1000, and you know. Very similar appearance. Okay. Broncos. My hope is that at the end of the season, Russell Wilson is in a commercial for Walmart celebrating the Super Bowl. That's my hope.
Yeah, Broncos make the Super Bowl.
Have new ownership. It's a Waltons, so we got the Walmart ties there. He's going to make a corny commercial, and it's going to be playing for 6 months, and you're going to have to watch it, Matt.
Yeah,
that's my.
Now that would be. He was actually in. You go to the Safeway out here for a while. There, he was on the overhead.
Yeah,
the Safeway Country. Let's ride.
That's kind of his thing now.
Yeah, and on the little Safeway pad before you pay, they always ask, do you want to donate money to like kids or sick kids or whatever?
Yeah.
For a while there, it was, do you want to donate money to Russell Wilson's foundation? No.
That can't be. Like, oh, it's foundation. I thought you were gonna say his contract. I'm like, oh, I sure.
No. His little foundation or whatever. Like he got the tie-in real quick.
Oh,
it's not there anymore. But for a month or two, it was. Yeah,
he's ingrained in the culture here.
He's good. You guys, that's not the craziest thing. You guys are back in the conversation for
sure. And all he's gonna say is Broncos Nation, we did it. And he's just gonna like throw a football, and Dave Logan. I think Dave Logan's still alive. He'll catch it. That's it. Okay. Some good hopes.
Yeah, there are at least two mutually exclusive hopes on this podcast. So
Yeah. We'll see. I think you guys could be a playoff team, Broncos. I think that's your ceiling. I don't see you winning the division, but ironically, I see you making a wild card playoff spot. And then if you win the Super Bowl, I think it'll be as a wild card. I could see you get Super Bowl
in the history of football. Yeah. Broncos-Packers, that would be huge numbers, Broncos.
That would be a fun little rematch of the Elway. That would be.
That was, sorry, Sam, to bring that up.
I know. Salt in the wound.
Yeah. Gosh. we were like a 10-point underdog. I didn't know about point spreads back then. I didn't realize we're that big of an underdog at that Super Bowl. So anyway, moving forward, we did our There Will Be Books actual fantasy football draft last night, which was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
A little backstory. I told Matt to have fun with the little points. Cause I think in the past we've kind of just done like basic fantasy football leagues. So I was like, hey, add points for receptions, that kind of stuff. Matt went out of his mind, and we now have a league where it's really hard to tell what is happening with the points. If you're familiar with fantasy football, I love it, but I'm also scared because I've never been in a league like this. And I think we've created a monster in our commissioner, and I'm not sure where we're going from here. So, Sam is along for the ride, which I appreciate. Your team's doing.
I wasn't sure what positions would be the key positions with this scoring rubric.
Exactly. You know? Exactly. He almost set it up to where I was confused. My wife was trying to help me because she at one point was going to like have a team, but then Matt filled the league with people I don't know. So
there's just two people.
Could be his like secondary teams. I'm not sure.
No, they're all real.
And she asked me like, oh, so what's our strategy? I was like, to be honest, the points scoring in this, I'm not sure. Because I was, took me 10 minutes to read the settings.
Well, I didn't know there. I've never managed a league before. So I went in there and you can edit the settings. There's this whole, you know, you can, there's, so it's basically, I just upped the points, not too much, but just by a point or a fraction of a point for everything. Right. So there's like a 30 plus yard. If you're a receiver and you catch 30 plus yards, it's an extra bonus point. 50 plus yards is an extra. Everything's extra. Long field goals, extra. Yeah. I gave a point for sack. So I just upped the points and there's an extra position. And
yeah, yeah, we have to start two tight ends, which has never been done in fantasy football.
That might be too much, but we're locked in. So we'll see. And I want it to be fun because, like I said, Emily's playing and my brother-in-law, her husband, Christopher, they're playing. They're just kind of just now getting into football.
Okay. Oh.
Listen, so I want it to be fun. It's bedtime. I want to say goodnight to the dog one last time.
Okay. That's very sweet.
It's a stalling tactic. He's only sweet come bedtime when he wants to delay. So anyway, I want it to be a fun high scoring league. So the new people kind of get involved in this.
Okay. I like scoring.
So yeah, there's going to be like 200, 300 point weeks.
Yeah. We're going to do this next year. And so hopefully Sam will be back and he's not driven away by this insane league that we have created. But let's move to our fantasy football book draft, where we're assigning books to each position that you would normally have in a fantasy football league. And we'll explain our reasons. And Matt, you said if someone selects a book, you cannot select that book, which is a new wrinkle, right?
We got one more person. We'll see how this goes. I figure what we'll do, position, and then everybody picks their book, gives the reason, and we'll go.
Okay.
From there.
I had this weird philosophy. I don't know if you guys have a philosophy where I kind of assigned the books that were tied to sort of the characteristics of the position, but also what I need in my reading, like fills out my reading pie chart, so to speak. It's a little bit different, but like I'll explain a little bit later. Anyway, should we start? What position should we start with?
Oh, I don't know.
Quarterback? Should we start with quarterback?
Sam,
your book quarterback.
My book quarterback is The Atlas of Remote Islands by Judith Schlansky. And I chose this because I figured that quarterbacks need to hold a lot of information in their heads and be able to kind of read a defense and come up with creative solutions. And I think that this book kind of does that because it has all these crazy stories from across the world. Some are kind of magical, wondrous stories. Others are kind of pedestrian, and she's able to deal with all of that in one package and keep it all in one book. So I thought that kind of represented the quarterback's task.
I like it. I read that book. I think we talked about it the first time. Yeah. I like it. It's a worldly book. It's on some part it's mysterious too.
It's just like Aaron Rodgers, right?
There you go. And Russell Wilson. Patrick Mahomes is kind of normal.
Yeah, he seems it. He
seems like not weird in a way. It's the best way I could put it.
Yeah, he's cool.
He's cool. All right. Atlas of Remote Islands. I like it. Quarterback. Matt, your selection.
I made a last minute adjustment. I had some different books penciled in here, but like 20 minutes ago, I was like, you know what?
Oh, I don't know if I like the strategy yet.
I'm going to flip it. My quarterback is The Son by Philip Meyer.
Okay.
It's kind of a good old boy, like Brett Favre, Jay Cutler, or not Jay Cutler, who's the guy? Jake Plummer.
Yeah.
Hype, you know, down to earth, wildly talented, strong writing type of
depressing. Do you want your
it's about a guy who gets kidnapped by Comanche Indians in Texas in the 1850s and he goes on to become an oil man, you know, and so it flashes back and forth from him young to him as an old man, like as a ruthless oil tycoon. It's actually pretty entertaining.
I could,
but it's good. It's a solid, earthy quarterback. I made a switch from a more, I was going to go with Anthony Pohl, the Dance to the Music of Time. Very intellectual type, but you know, like, you know what? Let's go with,
that's more of like your cricket captain, I would say.
You know, or like a coach, an old school type coach from the 80s, maybe. But Jake Plummer, Brett Favre, kind of Hick Dunwell type. Yeah. So that's my.
I like it. My quarterback is the book For Whom the Bell Tolls by Ernest Hemingway. I just wanted to go for a classic. Not everybody's cup of tea, obviously, but each quarterback, like your fan base is like, you'll talk yourself into your fan base. They're like, oh, I love Brock Osweiler, Bronco fans. You know what I'm talking about. But For Whom the Bell Tolls. I think we should do Hemingway at some point on this podcast.
I'm with you.
I wouldn't say Hemingway's been canceled, but I don't feel like people like, I don't know. Are there new editions of his works? I don't know. I feel like maybe I'm not in school and that's why I don't hear about Hemingway. But
it does feel like he's lost some of the cachet he had back in the day.
And I'm not saying he's without like issue, right?
Oh, no, I'm just,
but
just culturally.
Yeah.
I don't think people look up to him the way like previous generations did.
This book I haven't read in a long time, but I remember vividly reading it. I would want to say I was like early college, late high school, and there's some scenes in this book that are fantastic and just like highlight what I feel like were his strengths as a writer. But I felt like a quarterback, I would say like a safe pick, not too flashy, solid work, a classical work, For Whom the Bell Tolls. Anyone's thoughts on that Pat pick?
I think it's a good pick. He feels like kind of like a Bart Starr type.
Exactly.
Johnny Unitas, old school type quarterback.
He's like, how many times am I going to have to throw it in this game? I'm like, 35. He goes, oh, just blow out his arm.
So. And Hemingway's kind of rough and tumble and
yeah,
tough guy. So I think it works.
For Whom the Bell Tolls. All right. Do we want to go? I have two running backs. Do you guys have two running backs?
Yeah.
I have a running back and a fullback.
Oh, that's perfect. Yeah. Sam, lead the way. Give us your running back and give us your fullback.
Okay. So my running back is The Master and Margarita by Mikhail Bulgakov. And my fullback is Last of the Breed by Louis L'Amour. And so for the fullback, I wanted just someone really tough, like, and they're pretty uncommon these days in the game.
Yeah.
And so I, you know, their basic roles like knocking people over, protecting the quarterback, making space for the running back to get through. And this book is about this U.S. pilot who's shot down over Soviet Russia and escapes a prison camp and travels across the Siberian wilderness to cross the Bering Strait back to the U.S. to make his way home. And so I thought that kind of epitomized the toughness required by a fullback whose only job is to knock people over. So I thought that was my fullback. And then paired with The Master and Margarita, you know, they have to see the whole field and be willing to kind of jump through a hole at any time, and be prone to kind of flights of fancy, like be creative. And I think that book does it. It's like a, you know, watching a video highlight of Barry Sanders. It kind of bounces all around and it does it in this kind of joyful, gleeful, humorous way almost. And so it's like, it exists kind of on a different plane. And I think really great running backs are able to do that. It's like they're moving in a way that no one can touch them. So that's what I went with.
Sam's much better at explaining his picks than us, Matt.
Well, you know what? I was thinking he's better at our game than us.
I know. We created this game, and I'm like, well, I think we lost because
those are perfect picks too.
Yeah.
And can I say, Last of the Breed is my favorite Louis L'Amour book It's a good
book. It's a good one. Yeah.
My favorites of his are actually that and The Walking Drum. So for whatever reason, not like his Westerns are good, but my two favorites are his two that happen not to be Westerns.
So I can apply this, my like reading this pie chart thing I was talking about. Like a fullback, not a glamorous position. Louis L'Amour, he's not like a glamorous writer, right? He's not winning he didn't win the National Book Award. But as like, I need a well-rounded reading. This is what I read. You need Louis L'Amour in there, right?
And if you read his little author bios at the beginning of his books, he was like a boxer. He was in the Merchant Marine. He traveled around. He was like a tough guy. And then he just, you know, put his head down and wrote like, what, 100?
Yeah.
Just a ton of books for his whole life. Just a bunch of Westerns and books about tough guys. So that's a perfect fullback.
I like him.
Type author. Yeah.
Matt, you want to go with your running backs?
Yeah. So my first one, it's the wind-up running back one. It's the wind-up Bird Chronicle.
Okay.
By Haruki Murakami. Running back two, Murakami is kind of the big bruiser, the workhorse. Number two is kind of one of the smaller guys, but really quick.
Yeah.
We've Always Lived in the Castle by Shirley Jackson.
Okay.
And they're both, my running backs are kind of a little weird, little off. So I'm kind of surreal about them, as certain running backs can be. So getting hit all the time. But ultimately, they're very good.
Okay.
Yeah.
They're very good. I think we're picking books I've read Atlas of the Remote Islands, but I like this. We should nominate some of these books, Matt, especially The Master and Margarita. That's a book
I've been circling that for a long time.
Yeah.
It's worth it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that. One of my running back picks is like, you guys are gonna be like, oh, that's a great pick. The other one, I'm like, I like the book a lot, and I just put it in the running back spot. We'll start the one where it's running back two, if I want to go with Matt's logic here, and it's The Heart's Invisible Furies by John Boyne. And I was kind of going for a major, long work. I want my running back. It's going to be a long time, a long season. Going to give it some carries. I can dip in and out of this book. It's going to hold my attention. That's what I wanted. I wanted long works for my running backs. Grind out the yards, right? And then my running back one, The Grapes of Wrath. We're going west. The whole family's with us. It's going to be a hard time. Hand the ball off. We're just getting some 3 yards in a cloud of dust, right? As the old saying goes, Grapes of Wrath is a really good book. It's another book I haven't read in probably 20 years, like For Whom the Bell Tolls, but I remember liking it quite a bit. But The Grapes of Wrath and The Heart's Invisible Furies are my two running backs. Matt,
right.
Sam's impressed, but Matt's
go ahead, Sam.
I am. I mean, you've got a very kind of gritty team so far. They're Hemingway at quarterback. I mean, For Whom the Bell Tolls at quarterback, and then Grapes of Wrath and Heart's Invisible Furies. So like you're going to grind these games out. They might not be pretty, or but I think you'll find some victories.
I don't know if you guys follow college football, but the University of Iowa won a game last week, 7-3. Yes. You would think, oh, they scored a touchown. They got two safeties and a field goal. Yeah. So that's my way of winning the game is two safeties, and Hemingway just like doesn't show up for the third quarter. And for him, like, I don't have, because he's just like, I don't know, he went on a hunting trip or something. We're playing in like Laramie or something.
I think your team is based in a northern climate.
Oh yeah.
Cold, windy city, and so you kind of just grind it out.
We don't have a dome.
And is The Grapes of Wrath, like, I think that's one of those the running back is one of those people who just dies in his 40s mysteriously after he retires.
Yeah, I mean, we're
sad, like a sad ending for the, I mean, not to bum everybody out here.
Yeah, you don't have to bum my teammates out. I mean, come on now.
After you killed
my running back, but I completely agree with you.
You know what I mean? Like,
He just
like Brian's song.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Do we want to move on to the wide receivers?
Yeah.
Does everyone have wide receivers to?
Yeah.
Okay. Sam, you ready?
Yeah. Okay. I've got two wide receivers. So for wide receiver one, I think you need like a big play and a big personality. Someone who's kind of unpredictable, showy, adventurous, virtuosic. And so I chose Jitterbug Perfume by Tom Robbins.
That's a great pick. I mean,
it's, you know, a book about perfume and the immortality. It features, I mean, Pan is a character in it, the god of the wild. So, I mean, it's, I think that one kind of spoke to the virtuosity required of the position. And then for wide receiver two, for the number two, you need a counterbalance, someone who's able to go inside and take the hits across the middle of the field. Someone who's going to draw some coverage from wide receiver one occasionally. So I chose Drive Your Plow Over the Bones of the Dead by Olga Tokarczuk. Because this book is seemingly kind of down to earth, and yet it's got a mystical kind of central character. It's nothing too fancy, but it has, you know, steady production that gets you into that Hall of Fame at the end of the career. You know, you keep going across the middle, and I mean, the book helped her win a Nobel Prize. So I think that's.
So that book is like the wide receiver. We were like, can we just cover that guy? They're like, he doesn't look, what are we like? It's like, what are we doing here? And then like, and then it's kind of like the Cooper Cup of, you're like, I think I could cover it maybe. And then you're like, everyone's like, no, you can't. So that's right. Great picks. I kind of had a similar strategy a little bit. And then I kind of changed it at the last second. All I'm at. I was like, I wanted like a steady guy. And then I was like, and then I went full blown, like, they're not going to get along with the rest of my team. I'll just put it that way.
Yeah. My receivers, though, they're supposed to be a little.
One will, but the other one will.
Statistical.
All right, Matt.
Cool name, too. The Drive Your Plow or the Bones of the Dead. It's one of my favorite titles.
It's a very good title.
Good name. It's like a, what, Juju Smith-Schuster? Or it's one of those receivers with, like, what's that guy's name?
Right.
Yeah.
Marquez Valdez Scantling, right?
Yep.
Yeah. I like it. Matt, who we got for your wide receivers?
Okay. So I got the two wide receivers. Did you guys do a flex or a slot receiver?
I have a flex.
Okay. Well, I'll save it then. We'll save it for later. I was going to lump it in, but we'll do. I'll just do my two receivers. All right. Wide receiver one is some undeniably talented, but bit of a diva, bit of an ego. We are going with The Missionary Position by Christopher Hitchens, which is a book he wrote in his pre-Iraq War days. That really just bashed Mother Teresa.
Oh,
it's a polemic against Mother Teresa.
Okay.
So, kind of a cocky, swaggery, right or wrong, undeniably talented though. So that's my like loud, mouthy.
Your problem child on your team is Mother Teresa.
But he's too talented not to put out there.
Okay. I like it.
It's a missionary position. Yeah. He calls her the Ghoul of Calcutta. I guess it's a funny book. Anyway.
Anyway.
And then receiver number two is like a Calvin Johnson type, like a solid worker, like runs the routes, you know, runs them all through each time, knows the game plan, really smart, really sharp. It is The Locusts Have No King by Don Powell.
I was wondering if Don Powell would be on one of our teams.
Very nice. I think these two are a great counterbalance to
Wind-Up
Bird Chronicle. You know, your running backs, they kind of, I think they'll each take the attention and shift it away from that other part of the field. This is good.
Yeah, you can't. Well, and you can't stack the box.
It's true.
Right.
Because my receivers.
All right. My wide receivers. Wide receiver one is a book. I think you read this book, Matt. And I think I recommended it to you before we started doing the podcast. It's book that is relatively new. I think it came out in 2015. And I kind of think it has a lot of reviews on like Amazon stuff, but it's probably one of the better books I've read in the last like 10 years. I don't know if it's like I rated it 5-star. I think I did, but the book is called All Involved by Ryan Gaddis.
Oh yeah.
It's, yeah. I don't know if you've heard of this, Sam. It's a book basically set during the 1992, like race riot gang kind of.
LA
riots, but it deals with like gangs and kind of different elements of LA at that time. And it is so full of like energy and I don't know. I had going through my list of books I've read and that one popped out. It's like, I need energy at the wide receiver position. And this book has it in spades. Like it is a high recommend. You read it, right, Matt?
Yeah. It was like an episode of The Wire in print. It was great.
Yeah. It's just, and I think, I don't know if you agree with me. I think it should be like more well known or more well talked about as like a contemporary, like
this about is, in a while, but yeah, that was a good book.
I think he's published some books after that, but I haven't gotten to those, but All Involved by Ryan Gaddis. Then this is my trouble. This one is undeniably brilliant. It can get a little tiresome at parts. The author, I think, is, you love him. I think he's strange, but brilliant. So I think he's just going to be like, he's not going to, I don't know who he's going to talk to on the rest of my team. He's definitely not talking to Hemingway. I think they're going to fight. The book is American Tabloid by James Ellroy. It's got all the energy and brilliance you need at the wide receiver position, but kind of a diva, I would think, right? You would agree with that, man?
Prickly.
Yeah. Set in his ways.
Opinionated.
And his ways are not like concurrent with modern times, so it's a little strange. But talented, right?
Mm-hmm. So fun to watch.
Fun to watch.
Behind the scenes, a little prickly.
But you're like, I'm glad I just work with this person and I can go home. And
if you're a fan of that team, you don't care because he's on your team. Like,
other teams are like, I hate American Tabloid.
Sure.
Jerk. Just violent and just, oh gosh. Anyway. So those are my wide receivers. A lot of energy, brilliance. Maybe a couple
fists. They seem like they could function as a unit, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like one of those where you can't focus on either of them because they're equal threats.
Yeah.
So you got me intrigued to read that first one, especially.
All Involved by Ryan. Yeah, that is a very good book. I kind of want to reread it at some point, but yeah.
Kind of had a Elroy-ish feel or similar crime type feel.
It's like a cast of characters and it's a big sprawling kind of, I don't know. I just felt when I was reading it, it was just like, as a, like a creative piece of like, I don't know, work or whatever. It was just very impressive. Like, oh, this took time to think about all these different characters and the background and the motivations, and the writing was full of energy. And it's, I mean, you're set in a very like tense time. So yeah. Sam, do you have a flex position or?
I don't have a flex. I've got a tight end. I also did an offensive line.
Oh,
I don't know if you guys have.
I do not have an offensive line, but I want to hear this is. I thought some people would. Yeah.
Okay. So my offensive line. So this, you need toughness. That needs to be kind of hard scrabble, willing to kind of battle any demon that stands in its way. And so I chose Independent People by Halldór Laxness.
Ooh.
And so he's an Icelandic author. It's a story about a sheep crofter in Iceland. And it's bleak, like nothing really good happens to the guy, but he keeps fighting and he keeps going to the end. It has quite possibly the saddest ending to a book I've ever read. And it's not like anything particularly bad happens. It's just like, well, life kind of sucks and we keep going together, you know?
Sounds like my kind of book, Sam. Sounds like my kind of book. Star that.
I think that's, you know, what offensive linemen need to do is just be ready to deal with that same monotony and drudgery day in, day out. So.
Yeah, just a constant barrage of pain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Just like you have to wear a knee brace to your job and your fingers are taped up and you
fingers are sideways for the rest of your life.
Yeah. And you're like, when you retire, they're like, hey, how about you should probably lose like 150 pounds so that you can like, it's a tough, yeah, it's a tough, bleak life.
Right.
It's a very good selection.
That's right up your alley, Peter.
I know. I've heard of the book. I didn't know it was that bleak. So I might have to bump this up. We might have to. The way you described him, like, I know Matt's like, oh, I can't. But you know
it's
what?
It's your September book, right?
Exactly. We're reading, what's the book we're reading, Matt?
I just Paul Klassen?
Yeah. And that's a very, that's like a funny, fun, contemporary book. I think we could follow it up with like a, just a bleak.
You can do serious September.
We'll record the episode outside while it's raining. Just like,
I like just, it'll, yeah. I'll find a book where I'll nominate a book where like two Hungarians take turns drowning each other in the bathtub or whatever. And it'll be.
If that's not a book, it should be. Two Hungarians take turns drowning each other in a bathtub. That could be the title. You're just like, hey, you know what?
It sounds like a, yeah.
It was written in 1973. Really like that's, you know, yeah.
Yeah. Like, a, yeah. Jared, what's that guy's name? The Good Soldier's Fat Guy.
Oh.
Beard check. It's really funny, but it's really sad. It's just.
Yeah. Yeah. The book ends and because the author just died and they're like, yeah, publish it. So offensive line, that's a good.
Do you have any more? You just had the one.
I just chose it as a unit. Nice. Basically. Nice. So
that's good. I had some linemen real quick while we're on linemen.
Okay.
I just Place of Greater Safety by Hillary Mantel.
Okay.
It's a big old thick book about the French Revolution and Robespierre and Danton. And
it's kind of forgotten at this point, right? Hillary Mantel is sort of known for the,
she wrote it before Wolf Hall took off.
Yeah, like the Cromwell trilogy.
Yeah,
but it's just as good as, from what I can gather, or I don't know,
it's really good.
Different stories obviously, but
yeah. And then I also chose Three Musketeers.
I was thinking about that actually,
some big old,
as like a running back.
Yeah, that'd be, yeah. I just figured it's a big.
Or that could have been your like wide receiver group. You only have one wide receiver and it's the Three Musketeers.
No, I put them at line.
Okay.
I put them at, they're linemen.
I have one book. I have a bench that could be a lineman, and it's a kind of Scandinavian book called We the Drowned. I don't know if you guys have heard of this book by Carsten Jensen. It's this big sprawling saga over multiple generations taking place in this one village with the sea and the cast of characters. And it's sort of like myth, not myth, but like, what's the truth of the history of this place? Very good book. Dense. It's the kind of book I need in my life.
That's a good improv. That's perfect.
Yeah. So
it's along Sam's logic for what a good lineman is. It's,
yeah. Bleak.
Bleak and painful.
Bleak and painful. Right. Yeah, there we go. Do you have a flex, Matt, or
yeah?
Okay. What's your flex?
Did Sam give his flex?
I don't have a flex. I've got a
my
line and my tight end. And...
Oh, I got you. Okay. Well, my flex, you know, every now and then, or like a slot receiver too. Remember Danny Woodhead?
Yeah.
Or like Hunter Renfrow now, or Wes Welker, or somebody who comes out of nowhere. It's like, where'd that guy come from? He's really quick and good. I hadn't heard of it before.
Yeah.
My slot receiver is The New Manifesto by Sam Ernst.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah.
It's going to be a short career, I bet.
Knowing that that works so well is because
it fits in with the tone of my team and everything.
The flex is like a position that could do multiple things, right? And The New Manifesto does multiple things.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I was looking for in my flex, is to, and that's a perfect, good job, man.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks, Matt.
Yeah.
No problem. My flex was, I think I'm not sure if you've read this book. The book is The Czar of Love and Techno by Anthony Mara. He's better known for the, I think, A Constellation of Vital Phenomena. The Czar of Love and Techno is, you could almost say it's a collection of short stories, except for each story blends into the next one. So it's, I don't know, it's like a novel short story type thing, depending on whatever. It's, I don't know if you're familiar with the author. He's fantastic. I think he has a new book came out that came out with some mixed to good reviews. So I'm going to probably pick it up at the library. But The Czar of Love and Techno is my flex with, I had a backup plan of Lincoln in the Bardo by George Saunders as a sort of book that can do many different things, many different voices, many different jobs for my team. A book I want Matt to read. Actually, I want him to listen to it on audio because I've heard the audiobook is like
fantastic. Lincoln in the Bardo.
Yeah, Lincoln in the
Bardo. On my list. Yeah.
Sam, have you read Lincoln in the Bardo?
I've had it in my hands at the bookstore so many times, and then I flip through it and just see the like string of epitaphs, and it's
one of those, you know, those books where you have to get in the rhythm of it. Like if you just like, oh, let me just stop here, like at a point where you're, it's like not a chapter ending or something, and you jump back in, you're like, huh, I'm not really sure what was happening. Because there's definitely a flow of just almost characters talking over one another in this way that you have to get used to.
Oh.
So I think in the audio version, there's like 40 different voice actors. I don't know. That could be completely wrong.
Cool.
But it is this like, it's a style that you have to get used to, but once you're in it, it's actually very powerful and moving. So
that's cool. Yeah. It's on my list. Cause I've read his, Saunders essays on, it's called A Swim in a Pond in the Rain. It's his essays on how Russian authors, what you can learn from them. And so I thought that was great. So yeah, I definitely want to check that out.
And I he's most known for his short stories, I think. And I read one of his collections and I'm usually not a big short story fan because that you might read one that's great and then the next one's not so good. So I don't know. It kind of takes it out, but there were some that were good and some were, and just sometimes I'm like, I don't know what the point of this, some of the stories are when I'm reading any short story collection. So it's hard to just read back to back to back too. So that's my issue. Right. That's more of a me issue with short stories. So
I really liked Pastoralia and 12th of December.
I read that December one.
Yeah. I thought they were good. I liked them.
I thought the first story and just the 10th of December is really good. I don't remember.
It was the 12th of December.
Is it the 12th of December?
Maybe, because no, December is the 12th month. So maybe.
Well, we have the internet here.
It's not a big deal. It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. Should we do tight ends?
Yeah.
Okay. Sam, your tight end.
All right. My tight end. So my rationale here is that for a tight end, you almost need kind of a split personality. Someone who's tough and can run block, but can also be that reliable mid-range receiver. And so I chose HHHH by Laurent Binet, because I think that it's one of the books I've read most recently that really kind of captures that dual nature. It has, you know, it's a history of this event during World War II. And yet it's also a story of that history being written. Then the author's a character in it. And so I think that kind of epitomized the duality of the tight end.
Sam, all your books, for the most part, are books I've like been eyeing to read. So this has been a fantasy football draft, but also like, I need to read this because the way you talk about it, I'm like, okay. Cause I read the most recent book he did where it was, I don't know if we talked about this the first time, where it's tribes from like South America. The whole story is they come and like conquer Europe. So basically the exploration fails and then it happens in reverse. And it's very fascinating and really good. But like, it's like a fun, thought exercise in a way, but also it's just like he does a good job of telling the story. So
yeah, I'm excited to read that one. It's on my list.
Yeah, so. I think, but Civilizations, I want to say.
Yeah, Civilizations.
But I know, Matt, you wanted to read that one too.
I like stuff.
But I've had HHHH. I think I even checked it out from the lottery once. I just ran out of time reading it.
It's fantastic. I loved it. But
we're going to highlight that. And independent people, that sounds like right up my alley.
You know, I was in 4-H when I was a kid.
Different 4-H? Different. this might be your pinnacle. This might be your Netflix special comedy hour.
I did have
you got your beginning, the 4. Side note, what do you do in 4-H?
Farm stuff.
Yeah, but I want something more in depth about
bucket it. Calf. So when I was a kid, we had calves, like a little, my brother had one, I had one, two little calves, and we'd get up every morning and feed it like a little milk mixture. And then you, for the show, the big day of the show with all the medals and stuff, you kind of lead it around a little arena and poke at it with a stick. It's like an official thing. You get it to stand right, and then you brush the poop off its tail, and then you hey, look at my calf.
And then go ahead, Sam.
Oh, I was in 4-H here in town in Fort Collins, and I didn't get to raise any animals. I just did cake decorating and photography and knitting. I always impressed the little old ladies who would judge the knitting every year because I was this young guy, young kid doing it. And so yeah, they always gave me, you know, my little $10 award at the end of the county fair. So.
Oh, you got money?
Yeah, it was a cash cow. I think I made like $50 over 4 years. So
nice. I never got first. I never won anything.
I don't think you were in 4-H. I think your parents told you were in 4-H, and
I was in 4-H.
You were raising calves.
I went to meetings. I pledged my hands to greater helping or whatever it is.
What do the H's stand for? What are the
helping heart healing? Heather.
Head, heart, head, hands, and
yeah,
something. Help, I don't know.
I think you guys were in 3-H. And on that note, let's continue.
Right.
Defenses. Do we have defenses?
Hey, I got a tight end.
Oh, you have a tight. Okay, I got sidetracked by the 4-H stuff.
All right.
What's your tight end? I have a tight end too. Let's go here.
There we go. All right, my tight end was a quarterback in college, a legendary quarterback in college. Big reputation. Got converted in the pros to tight end.
I got so confused by this analogy. I was thinking, okay, I forgot.
Well, the book's very confusing.
Okay. thinking of an actual play. Okay, continue.
It's got a case to be made. The best, like, you know, in 20 years, people look back like, oh, that might be the best tight end of the modern era. We'll see. It's in the conversation.
Okay.
The book is Infinite Jest by David Foster Wallace. Okay. So it can block, can run. It's got a lot of energy. Like you say, it's kind of purposefully confusing and disjointed. I think there's a purpose to it. Ahead of its time.
Okay.
A lot of stuff. I find myself thinking of that book a lot. Like if I binge watch a season of Billions or something, it's like, that was really slick and entertaining, but I really couldn't tell you what happened. Just people yell at each other and quote trivia. I think of there's a plot point in Infinite Jest. The title, the movie Infinite Jest, there's a little movie circulating, and it's so entertaining that if you watch it, you'll just want to watch it over and over, and you won't feed yourself or bathe. You'll just die of entertainment. Anyways, really, I thought it was kind of prescient for all those reasons. Tight end. It could have been a quarterback, and so...
I would have put that at defense.
Maybe.
Like confusing.
It's purpose. It's not that. I was entertained by it.
Okay.
But have you read it, Sam?
I haven't, but you know, I've heard great things about it. That would be, that's perhaps the most kind of virtuosic player on your team yet. And it's the tight end.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like Travis Kelce.
I think so. Yeah.
Tony Gonzalez.
Yeah.
Tony Gonzalez, big old bruiser. Like a lot of, Kelsey was a quarterback in high school. So I pictured Infinite Jest as kind of like, Wallace had a reputation too, like a literary superstar. So, you know, the hotshot quarterback in college, but the physicality, they converted him to tight end as a pro.
Good. My tight end, sometimes you get a tight end that's a little out there, got a lot of energy, maybe got some tattoos, stays up all night. Maybe he's got just all the best stories in the team, right? That's an archetype of a tight end, maybe from a prior generation. My tight end on my team is On the Road by Jack Kerouac. Just kind of a lot of talent, sometimes aimless. Hemingway's got to corral him a little bit. He's definitely fighting with American Tabloid. They're going to be like, hey, throw me the ball. And then it's just going to be like different. I don't know. The chemistry on my team might not be great, but it's going to be exciting. On the Road. Either of you have read On the Road?
Mm-mm.
No.
I've read Dharma Bums, but not On the Road.
I think it's,
yeah, but
it's, I feel like it's a, like a genre of book that if you get it at the right time, I took a class in college just on the beats. And I think if you don't have that, maybe it's like, it's kind of hokey or a little bit like, you kind of grow out of it. I don't know.
Yeah. Of an era. And I think that works well for a tight end, you know?
Do we just we can go around and just do the rest of our, I have a defense coach and owner. I kind of thought those were fun things I added on. If any of you guys have remaining positions, Tim, do you have any remaining positions on your fantasy team?
I have a bunch of weird ones, but I don't need to do them. I can trim it down to defense.
I got some weird ones too. Let's dive in while we're here, you know?
All right. So my defense, I'm pretty proud of this one, is it's brutal. It's beautiful. Gets opposing teams off the field quickly. It's Red Cavalry by Isaac Babel.
Okay.
You know, it is a book of short stories, but they're all linked. It's the quickness there, and it's the beauty of brutality in those stories. It's fantastic book. So that's my defense. Do we want to go around, or do you just want me to run through?
You can just run through any of the, do you have any, like,
okay.
Yeah.
So my coach then is The Master of Go by Yasunari Kawabata. And it's a book full of strategic insight. It's this kind of reporting on a Go match that happened. And it was a battle of the old guard versus the new. It's philosophical, about honor and the warrior spirit. So I thought that was something a coach needed.
I like that.
Could really kind of inspire the team with.
Wait, is that nonfiction? Fiction?
It straddles the line between.
Okay.
Them. The author did report on a Go match, but you know, changed the details and got inside their heads and stuff. So.
Oh, cool.
And then my owner is My Struggle by Karl Ove Knausgård. And so I thought, for an owner, you need a big personality, willing to invest a lot and commit to an idea. And that's 3,600 pages of autofiction and musings. So, and what's strange is that it's like unbelievably popular. One in nine, I learned this fact before this, we got on here. One in every nine Norwegians owns a copy of that book.
Wow.
And it's been translated into 35 languages. So, you know, your owner has this broad appeal, commitment, and so I thought that represented that.
Nice. Have you read that? Any of them?
I read the first one.
Yeah.
And it's good. I mean, he's a good writer. I don't know how. Yeah, it's kind of one of those things. I think I could read one of them, and I have all six of them, one of them every few years, maybe.
But
I'm a slow reader, so.
I have the first one too. And it you make a good point. It's weird. It's a weirdly successful book. Like it must be like the publishing world must be like, I don't like, how do we pick bestsellers again? Cause yeah.
It doesn't strike you as like being a formulaic bestseller.
No,
like
not at all.
Yeah. That's a good honor. Matt, you want to do your fun?
I got a lot. Yeah.
You know, why? Jesus.
Well, extra stuff. So I have not one defense, but I like a couple defensive personnel.
Okay.
So like the crazy guy, let's say the crazy linebacker who maybe is getting drunk on the flight there, mm-hmm. but still somehow winds up being good. You know, like that guy. Right. The Great Shark Hunt by Hunter S. Thompson. Maybe my stud linebacker.
That's a very good, like, yeah. football.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like a Bill Romanowski. Like, I think that guy's insane. And he might
suspended for a couple
literally
games.
Literally might kill me. Yeah. 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 But still really talented, funny. What else? Oh, yeah. My coach. I figure you need, have you guys been watching Hard Knocks?
I have.
Yeah.
You need a real football guy.
Well, I was thinking the Dan Campbell, a guy who half the stuff he says, you're like, yeah, I like that. I like the coach getting down and doing up and downs with his player. Yeah. And half the time you're like, what are you talking about? What is that? The thing with the sea monster and like, oh, we're going to be the sea monster and we're going to, if you come into the ocean, we're going to like, are you the monster? Are you the guy on the beach? Are you going to drag down?
Oh yeah. When he was like, we're going to be the team that's in the water. Some of his analogies.
He's just going to beat the Packers once. And then
he ended his speech with, there's no light at the end of the tunnel. It's just a freight train.
Yeah.
And it seemed like everyone was bummed out.
Like, yeah. So
I was bummed out. I was like, okay. All right.
So along those lines, my coach is Thus Spoke Zarathustra by Friedrich Nietzsche.
Oh boy.
Yeah, some of the stuff
you just like, derailed your whole team. That's your coach?
Yeah.
Oh gosh.
No. Because some of you're like, oh yeah, that makes sense. That's really good. And some of the times you're like, what are you talking about? I don't understand that at all. I think you might be a little crazy, but he wrote a bunch of books. So he harnessed his craziness. I think he's going to wind up being a good coach.
That's good. That's a good. Do you have an owner?
Good Dan.
I mean, it's good for us, me and Sam, because your team is just going to be in the weeds.
Nah.
You guys are going to like punt on second down just for like, it's actually.
Have you ever read Nietzsche? I don't think you.
I don't care. No. General assessments.
He's not just.
Come on now.
This crazy guy.
I'm not saying he's crazy. I'm just saying.
College.
Yeah.
You read him in college?
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you. You know, there's parts where it resonates and sounds like he's tracking, and then there's other parts where you're like, man,
what are you playing?
What are you doing? Yeah.
Oh, they're all football players. You got to be a little crazy to put up with the hours and put up with everybody's ego.
So. Drinking all that coffee and soda.
Dan Campbell has like what, 2 40-ounce things of coffee with espresso shots in them.
Yeah.
I like that guy.
You're insane. That sounds like your life when you were working in the warehouse at 12-hour shift.
I did drink a bunch of coffee. That's probably why I like him.
Sam, you don't know this. Matt worked in he did 3 12-hour shifts in a row.
Mm-hmm.
And you would explain, I would ask him like, how do you do like, and then he would explain this like weird, like it's almost like you're not meditating, but you're like thinking, you're reading philosophy at like 3 a.m. before you drive for an hour.
I got up super early so I could actually read and do productive stuff. So I just made a whole pot of coffee and chugged it. And I put raw eggs in my coffee. It's really energizing, like for a couple hours.
Disgusting.
No, sure. But it was like, oh man, I feel like my brain was going. I don't know if it actually worked or anything, but like I felt like, oh man. Anyway,
you probably drove 45 on the highway the whole way there. You're just thinking about stuff. You're just like, not going, I don't know. Anyway.
Anyway, that's why I like Dan Campbell and Nietzsche.
Okay.
Rye eggs in my coffee.
Do you have an owner?
Yeah.
It's better be weird because there you just hire Nietzsche as your, or not Nietzsche, but like his.
Nietzsche's my head coach, my owner. You're going to think, oh, that's crazy. It's not fitting with your coach, but it's actually perfect.
Okay.
It is the best-selling book of all time.
The Bible?
The Holy Bible. Particularly the Old Testament. The New Testament's there. But like the old, the brutal, you sacrifice a goat to me or I'll wipe out your village. Like ruthless Jerry Jones type. Just, I mean, Jerry Jones not ruthless. Just like a
the Bible. Sure.
Just owner? A guy. Yeah, just yeah.
Okay. Remember when you Old made Testament. Fun of me when I had, who did I have as my, I had Homer as my or catcher or something mm-hmm. like that. And you're like, he's blind. And I was like, it's fine. I feel like that's what you, that's where you're at right now. I know where you were at. Like I was there with Homer as my catcher for the baseball thing. You're there with
having the Bible as
my Bible and Nietzsche is like
having a blind guy as a
no, catcher. I don't think the, how is the coach? Okay. I'm just gonna let you go. Just have fun. Sam, any comments on this this wild team he's created?
It's gonna be a fireworks show. I mean, it's like the New Testament are the kids of the owner, kind of the next generation waiting to come in, waiting for the old one to die off.
Oh yeah,
just won't. Mm-hmm.
Just
the won't. Nicer version, the old
won't one. Ever. It's gonna last yeah. a long time.
Yeah, and before I don't want my dad like emailing me. Calling me like I just called the Old Testament and the Bible brutal. I mean the popular conceptions of it. I know it's not
okay.
I don't want to get in trouble.
We don't want but, you get you know, in trouble. Okay.
The old school, you know,
okay.
Biblical patriarch to kind of guide the team.
Your team. I think you drank too much coffee. I love you. I love your team.
You haven't read Nietzsche. You know, you're going off the popular conception of him without having ever.
Go angry. He's getting angry. All right. Let me go. Do you have any other books, positions that you want to go through there, Matt?
I had a quarterback.
I think you have a quarterback's coach.
Quarterback coach.
Very interesting.
He was a head coach.
Okay.
And it was a little too esoteric, a little in over his head, but a brilliant X's and O's guy, but he couldn't quite make the jump to being like a broadly doing all the broad things a head coach needs to do.
Yeah.
Really fascinating in the details if you're into that. So he's my quarterback's coach.
Yeah.
It is The Prophet Armed by Isaac Deutscher. The first volume of his biography of Trotsky.
Oh, God.
It's fascinating, but there's a lot of, you have to know a lot of the details of like the ins and outs and the skirmishes between the Mensheviks and the Bolsheviks and all that stuff. Though it's not a broad popular history. It's very focused detail.
I don't have any comment on this book, but I love it. It's a fantastic team you've built. I'm just kind of looking. Yeah. Okay. Quarterbacks coach. It's a good, that's a good position. To have.
That's my best analogy, I thought.
Okay. My defense.
Sam, do you have any Sam? Other random ones?
I mean, I had like a punter and a.
Oh, I want to hear the punter.
Yeah.
So my punter, I thought you want to be consistent and pin the other team deep. And so I chose Secondhand Time, The Last of the Soviets. I guess I got a very Russian team by Svetlana Alexievich. And it's an oral history of all the disintegration of the Soviet Union. And it seems kind of straightforward enough, but each interview, it's consistently showing the complexity of how we perceive the world. And I think a punter is consistently revealing things with their punts. You know, it's an overlooked, nonfiction is often overlooked as having any kind of literary merit. Punters often overlooked as having any merit on the team. And yet, you know, keep consistently doing it, pinning that other team back on the end zone line. I think, yeah, that was my rationale.
Secondhand Time is a book I've been wanting to read for a long time. I own a copy of it. Most of Sam's books are like, okay, I need to read these books. This has been Matt, on the other hand, I just love your team, Matt. I don't know if I'm drawn to any of your books in a purely literary sense, but this might cause a division. You might just break off into the Chiefs Packers Super Bowl podcast. And let me go through my defense. I have a defense, coach, and owner. And I think these are my three strongest picks. Defense, I want bloody, violent, uncomfortable. It's going to be hard for the other team to just kind of stomach. And that would be Blood Meridian, a book that is dense and unsettling and violent, all those things I said. I think it's been pigeonholed into like this young man bravado book where it's, I don't know, but it's worth reading. And I think it's a good choice for defense. My coach is, I want someone single-minded on the task, a championship, which might lead to success, but most likely will lead to failure. And that book would be Moby Dick, a book. I don't know. That's my coach. That might make me set up for failure, but I thought Moby Dick is a perfect
coach. All the grief you gave me for Nietzsche.
No, you gotta break the tiebreaker here. You gotta break the tiebreaker. Nietzsche over Moby Dick. Are you kidding me?
So my coach isn't gonna win, but I'm gonna hire him anyway.
No, I think the book itself talks about like the dangers maybe of like win at all cost. The old Al Davis, I think Al did like, or just win baby or whatever. But like, we might be six, like in Moby Dick, they might have been successful in a different world. It might not have made a great book, but it might have been successful. But Captain Ahab is my pseudo coach, but the book itself is Moby Dick. I think
it's great. That white whale
Super Bowl. That's, I mean, come on, Matt.
Yeah. Like the guys with the Buffalo Bills.
Hey, it's slander.
Quique is going to be your only survivor.
Yeah. he's my GM. My owner, I thought this was my cleverest pick. Owners are often like families, dysfunctional families, if you start to like dig a little deeper. And so with that reasoning, my owner is the book The Corrections by Jonathan Franzen. A book I think that gets a lot of, I read it probably 10 years ago and I was expecting to hate it. And I was actually like, should I tell anyone I really like this book? And I kind of like the characters I don't like, but I kind of like all this stuff. And I kind of see where the criticisms come in. But sometimes you're like, they don't bother me as much. So The Corrections is my owner, cast of characters, infighting, all that kind of stuff. Matt, Eddie, I feel like you're going to just
be. I don't know Franzen, but I'm open to him.
Okay.
Seems like a good, you know, family drama.
No, family pick. Dysfunction, just a lot of like everyone's got secrets, everyone's
Was that a Oprah selection? Like it sold pretty well.
It did.
Has it sold as well as the Bible?
No. Franzen might think it has, but it hasn't.
If you think about it, the Bible's full of family drama too. So you know,
we're closer in alliance than we think. So this has been fun. Anybody else have any other positions they want to? I had a kicker that I thought when I was going back over my like a kicker as like in terms of like your pie chart of what kind of books you like to read. Kicker is kind of like, oh, you don't need a kicker. Some people don't value a kicker, but it'll win you games. It'll get you out of a reading rut. It'll be just kind of enjoyment. Might be a good book at the end of summer. And the one I picked was 1+1 by Jojo Moyes, kind of a pop romantic comedy kind of book, which I quite enjoyed quite a bit. That's all I got to say about the book. It's not my usual cup of tea, far from it, but I read it probably, 5 years ago in the summer, and I thought, this is a lovely I can see why they like try to make her books into movies and TV shows and the like. And I just thought it was a delightful book, and she's my kicker. And you guys are not going to make me feel bad for that. So
I'm not judging you.
The covers, I'm like, the covers, I think the books are, I kind of want to read more. If you gave me a box of her books, I would be like, oh, this is fantastic.
All right.
So, Matt, any final books?
Well, I could do a kicker. Who's going to be my backup quarterback, but I'll make him a kicker.
Okay.
Dino by Nick Toshes.
I don't know that.
It's a biography of Dean Martin, which you think, okay, it's like a fluffy. Nick Toshes is a very good writer. Wrote some very good books. And for whatever reason, he got a contract to write a biography of Dean Martin. And it was just one of the most pleasant reading experiences that I of my last 10 years. It's really good, really fun, some interesting points. I didn't know Martin and Lewis were that, like, they were like the Beatles in the 40s. They were just huge. And then Dean Martin kind of parlayed his success to kind of a easygoing, carefree guy. He navigated fame in an interesting way, flaws and all. And so I think it could be my kicker. It's an old guy, Justin Tucker guy. It's kind of.
Kickers do age. You know, kickers can kick until they're 40.
They age well. He's smoking cigarettes on the sidelines. It doesn't matter because he can still kick.
Drinking, telling stories.
Yeah.
Pretty good kicker.
Yeah. So Dino.
Dino. Okay. Sam, any miscellaneous picks?
I mean, I had a kicker too. And I went in a very kind of opposite direction from you guys.
You didn't pick a drinker?
No. I chose, you know, you want someone who's clutch and can come through in high pressure situations, but also kickers are the weirdos on the team. The only one who ever wants to hang out with them is the punter. But they have long, steady careers. And so I chose V by Thomas Pynchon.
Oh.
He's a genre unto himself, kind of showed how successful being out there can be, because you know what you're going to get. It's weird, philosophical, psychedelic, you know, potboiler, noir type books. And yet, you know, he's published a whole bunch of very long books like that. And V was the one for me that showed it at its most successful. So
I think that's a good final pick.
Nice. Sam, is that your favorite one of his, the Pynchon?
I mean, The Crying of Lot 49 is short, so
that's the only one of his I've read. So,
but yeah, V was good. I've read maybe one other, but I have several others, but they're just so intimidating to kind of dive into. So,
well, Sam, I think you've won this draft, because me and Matt are just kind of all over the place. Not only have you provided like a good reasoning for your team, I think Matt agrees with me here, but you've actually added or like reminded me to read a bunch of books, which I think fits in well for, you know, I know Matt wants to take off into the book sports podcast world, but you know, in the book world.
Some notes.
Yeah, I highlighted a bunch books. Of books, secondhand maybe, time.
Maybe even for September, we'll see, for serious.
Right. Independent people, if you say it's as bleak as it, oh. Gosh, might be a top 10 book for me. Might be a game changer. Might be like, oh, you know, might ruin my winter if I'm just like, oh, this is. But
you'll just pick up and move to Iceland just to.
That would be.
I think Sam, you really nail the spirit of the game.
It's, yeah.
Yeah.
How do you guys think this work versus authors going forward? And if you're listening at home, you want to do your team, let us know too. Do we prefer authors or do we prefer books? Because we can do either, because we kind of changed it up this time.
I think, you know, choosing books was fun. It was hard to sometimes disentangle the author from the book.
Yeah,
when I was thinking about the positions, too. but yeah, I liked it as an exercise.
We can almost combine it in the future, book/author.
I think we could rotate. I think next year we could do author.
We also talked about characters.
That was interesting. I was thinking about that because originally we were going to do fictional characters.
Mm-hmm.
I was having a hard time because going through a list of books I've read and everything, a lot of the main characters didn't have traits that you'd want on a team. They were kind of like everyman and like ciphers for the normal person. Yeah. You really wouldn't necessarily, they don't, you know, they're not,
you could have just,
you're determined or tough. It's almost like all villains. Like I had Flashman as a running back, but I was kind of like, okay, what else? Who else is?
You just pick five people from Lonesome Dove.
Yeah.
So, thanks again, Sam, for coming on, playing this fun. I think it's one of our favorite episodes to do is the fantasy sport author / book draft. And you're much better at it than us. So the baseball one was Matt read your team on that episode, and I was like, oh, he's like, this is, I don't know, probably shouldn't even say my team anymore. And then I had a blind catcher, so it was a bad look. But I redeem myself with the corrections, Moby Dick, and Blood Meridian. Those are three strong picks.
Yeah, solid picks to end out the team.
Yeah.
I appreciate you guys having
Everybody had a good team.
Everyone.
Oh, crap. One more thing. I think Pam from Australia, I think it might be the same Pam who told us to read Life and Fate.
Yeah.
She said you guys need to have David Sedaris as a referee.
Okay.
And I thought that was perfect. Like, oh, yeah, he would be kind of the referee. So since we're doing books, when you're engulfed in flames, or while you're engulfed, whatever it is, that's the referee.
Referee in flames.
David Sedaris.
I like it. Let's remind everybody who's listening what we're reading. Going on our TBR, we have a quite extensive TBR. I think it's been longer in maybe a couple months ago, so it's a little bit more manageable. So coming up, we have Flash for Freedom, our next in the Flashman series. We have Cult Classic coming up. We have Midsummer Night's Dream. We have Eight Men Out, which is going to be over on our Patreon. Life and Fate, I always say that's gonna be next year because that's 1,000 pages and we're not near done with that. We have The Once and Future King, which is kind of our new mini seasonal, which we'll be going through kind of each of the novels individually. And then I've chosen to read Ironweed by William Kennedy as my kind of mini project to go through the Modern Library top 100 books. Matt, am I missing any of those? I think that's all of our books. And then Sam listed about 8 books that I think everyone should probably check out because they all, I've definitely had them on my TBR for a long time. So, Matt, any final thoughts? Sam, any final thoughts on Sam? What do you think of what we're reading right now? Does anything stand out as far as that sounds interesting? Or,
I mean, given my Russian predilections, you know, Life and Fate, and you guys got me started on it, so because I learned that it was a 2-book series, I started Stalingrad, and it's also 1,000 pages, so I'm almost halfway through that one, so I haven't even gotten to Life and Fate yet, but it's pretty awesome.
There's a new New York Review books that's kind of like been going through his works, and I think there's a new one they're releasing, I think, this fall, if I'm not mistaken. I don't have the title off the top of my head, but I know they've released, I want to say probably like 3 or 4 of his works, so they have another one coming down the pipeline too. So
keep my eye out for it. Yeah.
All I know is the title or the cover art, I think, is a tank in a field of like poppies or something like that.
Seems appropriate.
Yeah. So Cult Classic though, Matt, how far are you in that book?
Almost done.
Okay, me too. I think that'll be a fun discussion because at certain points in that, while reading that book, I thought I kind of hate you for and then other times I've been like, this is very delightful and I like this, and it's
funny. I don't know what parts you're
I've talked about it before. It's just, I don't like books where it's like they're talking into an echo chamber. I'm like, come on, just get out of your comfort zone.
She's describing the world of New York public. We'll get into it.
But actually, where I'm at now, almost done with the book, it's probably going to be like a 4-star book for me. It's enjoyable. I like the twist in it, and it's very good. So, Sam, if you see Cult Classic at the library, pick it up. I think it'll be in.
All right.
Unless like the last 60 pages are like terrible, which could happen, but we'll see. So follow along on any of, oh, Matt.
Well, the audience should also go buy Sam's book, The New Manifesto.
That's true. He's on Matt's team. And cool. And check out our episode we did with Sam a couple months ago.
It's called The Importance of Being Earnest.
Yeah. It was our best title for an episode, too. I like that.
It did. Yeah. It's on, I saw it at the library. That was kind of cool. I was at the Old Town Library, Sam. And yeah, it was display. I was like, oh, cool. There it is. Yeah.
It may be the only library it's at, but it's pretty cool. Like I get, it was like, you know, display. People's.
Yeah. Sam, that's a good, though, that's a good library.
Yeah, it is.
So, you should obviously, if you're listening, you should go buy it. But yeah, you know, yeah. It's also a library book. But you know,
so yeah. Sam, we would love to have you on again to talk about not just sports and books, but just any book. Some of your books you mentioned today, I feel like we should pick one of those and have you back on so we can discuss it. So
sounds good.
We can talk about that later. But thanks again, and feel free to reach out to us on any of our social media platforms and give us suggestions or feedback on some of our episodes, and we will talk to you soon.